Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you in collaboration with The Inky List. Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Awardner, and joining me in this episode are Mark Curry and Colette Newbury from The Inky List. Now, The Inky List is the brand who cut through the beauty jargon and deliver high-quality topical skincare ingredients at reasonable prices. But there are a lot of beauty brands out there, and it's hard to keep up. So what does actually make The Inky List different? In this conversation with Mark and Colette, we talk about their very different backgrounds and how they came together, combined their expertise and created this brand. The highs and lows, and dare I say, realities of being a small beauty business. Why they like to speak directly to their consumer, that's you. And what's next for this small beauty business that has, in its first year, really taken the industry by storm. From my perspective, I met Mark and Colette a little while ago, and as you'll be able to tell in the show, it's always a good time, with a little bit of fun thrown in, to hang out with them. They are nothing if not honest. Links to everything discussed will, of course, be in the show notes, but for now, please do enjoy this conversation with Mark and Colette from The Inky List. Listeners, I'm here with the co-founders of The Inky List, Mark Curry and Colette Newbury.
Hello.
Heidi.
And all I can say is that I have no idea what...
I've got no idea what I just said, by the way. I was going to say hello, hi, hey.
Did you say howdy?
I just said Heidi. Heidi or something?
Heidi, do you want to go on holiday?
This is going to be good. I can feel it.
So we have a tendency when the three of us get together of chatting absolute nonsense. So what we're going to try and do in this episode is actually talk a lot of sense.
Okay.
Skincare sense.
We can do this.
And beauty sense, because you have one of the most exciting brands to be around right now, and you're just celebrating your first birthday, and it has been quite a first 12 months into the business.
It has. We are very tired.
It's been interesting.
It's been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing. We can't believe we're here, to be honest.
Well, that's a great point at which to start. How did you get here? Because your backgrounds are both completely different. You're a microbiologist, Mark, and is it virologist? I have to look at my notes to check what word I'm saying.
That is bang on.
Right. And you're marketing, branding, all sorts.
Sexy. marketing, branding, product development. So... I've come from more of a beauty background, and Mark's come from a science background, so it kind of works.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did the beauty background and the science background hang out at one point and go, hey, we could probably do something together?
I think we knew of each other at Boots, and we then went separate ways, and then I got in touch with her on LinkedIn and said, I think your brand thing should meet my science thing, and maybe we could be a thing.
Oh my God, someone told us the other day we should do like a LinkedIn like romance, like how to meet on LinkedIn. It genuinely was LinkedIn message.
The best part was 1 minute later, she came back and went,
ping!
Oh, funny you should mention it, blah, blah. And I was like, king.
You're never going to let me live that down.
We do it for tomorrow for breakfast, let's go.
Done.
Right. This is a very unconventional beauty story.
Uh-huh.
Norman, well, I'm enjoying it hugely. So you worked together at Boots?
No, never.
We're going to have to... Right, listeners.
Roll it back.
So I've done a lot. So went to a decent uni, was going to do a PhD, went and taught science for 2 years because I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then went to do Mars, then went to Boots.
You went to do Mars? Oh, Mars. I thought you meant the planet.
Mars, the business. Sometimes the planet Christ. At the weekends. And then... started my own thing badly and failed and didn't want to go and get another. I didn't want to get a proper job, so wanted to do something with you.
Turns out he was missing me all along. So Mark is, close your ears, like a massive innovator, visionary, like he's a genius. He's really smart, but he's absolutely useless at like getting anything done. So what we've realised is, like, he
I do shit.
Do you, darling? Okay.
Probably too much shit. That's the problem.
Basically.
He's hyper-productive.
Exactly.
What I'm guessing here is that maybe you have to channel that productivity.
There you go, right there. So yeah, it kind of just worked from day one, really. And we just think our skill sets work, our personalities work. We shout at each other a lot, but we get to some good places, and we both kind of love the mentalness that is.
What's quite enjoyable, though, is I mean, what you see is what you get. We are the same in every situation, and our team will see us screaming at each other in the office, and then we'll go, anyway, do you want a cup of tea? And everyone else is like on eggshells for the next 30 minutes. And we're like,
are you okay?
Oh, what's wrong?
Yeah, just get it out. Creative differences. Get it out there. Move on.
Okay, so creative differences is one thing, but when did the creative similarities, when did the nugget, when did the germ of the idea to actually create a brand? I'm going to circle back to the original question. When did the germ of the idea to marry your expertise with Mark's expertise?
The Inkylist was born on a plane, actually. Yeah. So we were on the plane back from Toronto, and we just got chatting about skincare in general and doing a skincare brand. And we were like, there's so many brands, so many products out there that we don't want to like clutter and create more crap. But we were like, this still feels like there's something massively missing, because no matter how much is out there, people are still confused. Mm-hmm. Why are they still confused? So yeah, on this plane, it was like an 8-hour plane ride, and we were literally just brainstorming like, why are people confused? What could we possibly do to help them? It was quite long after that we actually got to what the product range would be. We were just really, really clear about like what that brand could be.
What the principle of it was.
Yeah.
The reason why it exists. So we're massive believers in, unless there is a clear reason to exist of something,
don't
bother. Mm-hmm. Literally don't bother. There's no point. It won't last very long, or don't know. It would just be based on the wrong premise. So we were clear that the reason to exist was kind of take people from confused space to a little bit more understanding. And then everything else hopefully builds from there.
And why did that become a brand and not helping existing brands to refine themselves?
That's a very good point. Above everything, we're product people. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a really easy example. We have, believe it or not, in the last 2 years, because Inkylist is our fourth brand, believe it or not, we've developed over 80 products. Mm-hmm. So we are product people.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you how failure informed forward. Oh, but wow. Then if it's just that, well, if it's not working, either stop outsource it, delegate, or stop doing it.
Seriously. And we are so agnostic. So the other brands we've had, we launched a brand and we're like, in 2 months we were like, oh god, what have we done? We literally stopped it there and then. Like, we are very agnostic. Like, if something's not working, just stop it, because all you'll do, you can get lost in your own, I want to say a horrible word, in your own head, in terms of, oh my god, this is my baby, this is what we're doing. And you know, e-com or even brands are a good example of, you can just keep going because you're like, it will work. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. So we're very cool about, you know what, just hold your hands up and say, we messed up.
There's a separation here between the ego and
big style
stuff.
Yeah, big style. So the like hacks is this brand that we thought of, and conceptually it sounds
so good,
amazing, but we literally, I think if we could have had a little inkling of success if we'd just done a few things right, but we literally did
everything wrong,
and we were just like, oh frick, all right, write it off, it's not gonna work. But I think the concept of do a little bit, fail, change it, do a little bit, fail, change it. We're a lot better at that now.
Yeah. And
we were a bit bold, I think, originally.
And what we're excited about is the Inkylist has been such an amazing success, we think, because we've taken all of those failures and learned.
Yeah. Mm.
So everything that worked or didn't work, we took that on. And actually, from day one of Inky, we were just so clear on what we wanted to do. We didn't cut corners with quality. We didn't cut corners with anything that we needed to. We were just so clear about what it had to be. And I think that, for us, that authenticity of what the brand is kind of shines through, I hope.
And I guess what it's not about is not caring, because there's an unbelievable passion in creating stuff, but it's being mindful. Like, I especially, in my failed business, I was just so, like, blindsided and actually fooling myself to thinking something could work.
It's desperation as well, because you really, really want things to work, and if they don't, you kind of want to hold on to it and make it work.
But the ego thing is bang on as well. It's like, it's admitting hard. You're a failure is so hard to do to start with. But once you said it once a few times out loud, you know, get it out there straight away. Oh, yeah, absolutely effed up business number one. And, you know, I've paid for it many ways.
The thing about failure is that it teaches you what not to do.
Yeah. So, way more than any single
success.
We don't actually recognise success. Now you get really pissed off at me.
I really struggle because, like, worries us, this is really hard. Like, I don't actually think we've slept in a year. Like, it's really, really hard going. And, you know, when things are often really tough and really hard and you're really tired, when there is that moment of doing something great, I just have to take a moment to enjoy that. Even if it's like, you know, 30 seconds, you can't do it, can you?
No, I'm like, next.
Move on. And I hate that, especially for our team, because they're killing themselves and you know, are driving and driving and driving, and I want everybody to feel like it's worth it. But yeah, you're kind of, you can't celebrate, can you? You're just like, on to the next.
Do you worry that if you celebrate or if you enjoy a success that you'll miss the next opportunity to succeed again?
I think two things. That, but also, if you say it's a success out loud and then it quickly doesn't become again, you're just like, sugar.
Oh, it's like not wanting to say you're happy in case something bad happens.
It's so fragile, like if you whisper too loudly, it kind of crumbles.
Is this like psychology with Emma?
It is,
Emma. I didn't mean for it to be.
But I'm scared because, you know, she Miyagi'd us last time we were.
I Miyagi'd you, I Yoda'd you.
Exactly.
Yes, so, but speaking of all of that, one of the mission statements, which always makes me think of Jerry Maguire, is, does it not make you think of Jerry Maguire?
It's true. Statement?
Yeah. Is simplifying skincare and making it accessible to all. What was it about what you were seeing from both of your unique perspectives that made you feel that things were complicated and inaccessible? And I was really curious about this, because I was having a chat with a load of beauty buddies, all of whom you know, the other day. And I said, it alarms me and worries me that I'm not doing my job properly, that the questions that I get today about skincare, about problems to do with skin or beauty or makeup, are the same questions I got when I started out nearly 20 years ago. Am I not doing my job right?
Disagree completely. We've had this quite a lot.
Editors. So every time we see editors and we say what the premise is, you know, think about it like a Wikipedia of skincare, and they go, yeah, but we've been speaking for years about retinol. And it's like, people are busy. People are busy and they forget and they try something and then they come out of it and then all of a sudden it's relevant again. And I just think it's really hard, especially hard nowadays, because there is so many things bombarding people's lives that, you know, I think life is about timing more than anything else. And I think having the right message at the right time, no matter what it is probably the only thing that matters.
Okay, so let's drill down into a specific then. Let's talk about the example of retinol. What were you seeing, hearing, feeling that made it feel like retinol was inaccessible and complicated, when we all know it's a vitamin A derivative?
Do we all know that?
Well, we should all be saying that, is what I'm saying. Like,
but I think we are standing for everybody with Inky. We aren't just standing for that beauty junkie. So we're standing for somebody that's walking into Boots just to pick up a face cream, because, you know, they need a face cream. They don't even use serums. Mark's got a great stat about the amount of people that use serums. It's tiny. A really good example for me is my mum. She loves everything beauty related, but doesn't really know a lot. And I remember walking into a store with her and her saying, oh, I just need to find some turmeric. And I said, why? And she said, it was in the Sunday newspaper. It was saying how good turmeric was. I need to get some. I said, What does it do? She says, I don't know. They just said it was good. So there is, you know, people understand things like retinol and vitamin C and those ingredients, but they don't know to the level. There's so many questions we get. You know, oh, I use retinol and then it hurt my face when I went outside. And it's like, I use that at night.
Mm.
And they just, you can keep reiterating the point, but again, people don't have often time to spend an hour on YouTube, especially when you're talking to slightly older people or people that aren't really into beauty.
Mm.
And I think that was really epiphany for us, is that not a lot of people spend not a lot of time thinking about their skin.
Mm.
So actually,
a problem.
Yeah. So you just need to break it down for them to the very, very minimum. So on our packs, we will tell you how to pronounce the ingredient.
Mm, I like that.
But that is genuinely from consumers not being able to say the word hyaluronic acid.
Mm.
So I think if we can talk at the very bottom level of somebody that literally has walked from Mars, and actually if they could read our pack or go on our Instagram and understand, for us, we've done our job. Yeah. Whether they buy the product is irrelevant.
And the mission statement is really three rules of everything we have to do, which is it easy to understand, simple to use, and can anyone afford it?
Mm.
No matter what it is, that's what we have to do at every touch point. So whether it's the products that we're creating, whether it's marketing messages, social, what we're doing, retailers, unless it's those three things, it can't really sit with us.
And how can you deliver high-quality skincare ingredients at an affordable price point? Because I'm guessing that comes into your wheelhouse.
Product, yeah. So it's the way we buy.
Mm.
To be clear, we don't run a factory. If we had to run a factory, it would be...
Wow, can you imagine?
That'd be like
it'd be like our e-commerce platform. Absolutely non-existent. Actually, it is existent. It's just an absolute shit shower. So... We go directly to source of raw material suppliers,
mm-hmm.
and work with those guys to understand what's the right grade, what's the kind of insight behind the actual grade of that ingredient mm-hmm. itself. So how is it tried, tested and true, and then make everyone else down the usual track do what we say in order to get it to a price point that makes a difference.
It's basically cutting out the middleman, if you will. So mm-hmm. you're not just going to a manufacturer and saying, I want this product, and then they go buy everything. We go higher up the chain.
Yeah.
Right.
So but it's harder.
You have to think differently about everything to get it to that price. So I always go back to inspiration that I had when I was learning how to do business and learn about IKEA. They just said, we want people to be able to buy a pint glass for a pound, like ages ago.
Mm.
So they... instead of doing round pint glasses, they did square ones because it made sense, like somewhere in the supply chain, mm. that there was a massive saving and all you're suffering is, oh, it's not a circle, it's just a square. Mm. And amongst buying our raw ingredients differently, our packs are the simplest things that you'll ever see, mm. Whilst maintaining formulation integrity, which mm. is the key thing about it, and being physically easy to use themselves. So... the three rules mm. guide everything mm-hmm. with reason, with the end in mind being, you know, the consumer can give maybe something they've always used for a bit little bit less money, or something they've never heard of before,
mm.
give it a go without feeling like, oh, I've got to push the boat out a bit further and maybe cut something else back, because mm. no matter what time of austerity we're living in, you know, people still have to choose to spend mm. money to try something new.
And a little side note as well is just back to something we were saying before we started, Emma, about yourself and, you know, how you make money. We're not.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
So we're not currently making money. So on a couple of our products, we lose money every time we sell one.
Because we choose to make that product to that level of quality versus something else.
So we might just be the worst business people in the world, potentially. But we
great to have got you on tape.
But, you know, we're hoping that, you know, as we scale, it will be worth our while.
Is it loss leading? Is it speculate to accumulate?
Absolutely, yeah. That. Right. Absolutely. And we think that's the right thing to do, because if we can get our hyaluronic acid, is a really good example. It's £6 for the customer to buy. And
how
we did that.
How many mil?
30.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that on purpose. We lose money every time we sell it. But if you try it, you're going to come back for more. It's fantastic formulation. So yeah, speculating to accumulate as we speak.
Interesting. You hit the market at a time when there were quite a few brands that looked a bit like you and were sort of saying similar-ish things, and maybe hadn't, it was a new thing.
that the consumer was hearing for the first time this kind of vocabulary, this kind of presentation. But your first year has been astounding in terms of the accolades, the successes and everything. Mm. What have you... please don't say don't know. What have you done? What have you done? Or can you pinpoint the things that you think have made you stand out, given how crowded the marketplace is?
Very good question.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, in terms of the brand and the marketing side of things, is consistency. Mm-hmm. So we are clear on our USP. We are clear that we want to help educate people. A few brands have come in trying to do the same thing. They get bored, they move on, and they do something shiny. Genuinely, that, you know, it's not sexy what we're doing. Mm. We're informing people in a way that helps them, and that isn't sexy. Mm. But you know what? We continue to do it, and we're going to bang the drum, and we're encouraging people to come on that journey with us. So for me, I would say, other than anything, you know, we haven't done flashy brand campaigns. We haven't spent a lot of money on marketing. All we've tried to do is just get the message out there in terms of come to us and we'll help you with your skin. So I'd say consistency is very unsexy, but I would say that's what it is.
Yeah, I think we answered, was it 7,000 direct messages in the last 4 months?
Yeah.
Wowzers.
It's hard graft.
But no one sees it. So it's not like we're out there being flashy. We just are behind the scenes genuinely helping you. People and people love it, and they really, you know, they don't end up buying our products often, you know. And we also say to them, actually, we don't have an Alpha Arbutin, but this brand does. Mm-hmm. We're not, this is not about selling, this is about helping. And for us, that's a really important message to get. It's not about getting sales, it's about helping people. And you know, if you can help them to a point, they will keep coming back to you for more.
But being consistent's good, but having like friends like you and other people that are influential in the industry, and the editors that kind of buy into our message as well, has massively helped here in the US, you know. Just getting the awareness.
Are we in the US?
We're in the UK.
Oh, yes.
Listeners, they flew
here
in yesterday.
And in the US. Good point.
I love that.
There may be an element of jet lag.
Massive element of jet lag.
I have no excuse. If I make a mistake, I'm just having a bad afternoon. These guys have an excuse. The thing I'm thinking is, that's great here at year one. You've won awards. People are all over you, 7,000 DMs. What if you're at the same point in 3 years' time and you're like, when's it going to start paying off?
Well, that's a very good question. I ain't even... thought about that.
Sorry.
You just sent me into a valley of death. What happens if this is it?
I think that's cool.
I think it's cool too. Because again, we're not very good business people, so...
Do you know what? I've got an intense belief that you just find a way to make stuff work. And, you know, we could be sat here now. So I think we were doing some numbers today. We sell pretty much 2 products a minute. Mm-hmm. Right at the moment, and I'm just thinking, what if that goes south?
Hang on a minute, can you just, you say it so, yeah, we sell 2 products a minute. We sell 2 products per minute. Like, what?
Yeah.
Blows my mind every day. Sorry, you're just so cash.
Don't celebrate, do not celebrate success.
Oh, I love this. I've got a sense now of the meetings in the office. Yeah, so we sold 2 products a minute. Move on, and then you're in the corner, cheerleader.
We've got a bell. I've got a bell in the office.
That is ridiculous, but I love it.
You have to
ring that bell.
Oh my dear God.
Okay, so the next thing is a site visit to the Inky List HQ so that I can come and ring them. It's like opening the stock market.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sorry, Mark.
I don't know. I forgot what I said now.
No, it's all fine. So you have just celebrated your first birthday. Or is it like, it's literally today, isn't it?
It's today.
Amazing. There have been incredible landmarks, spectacular landmarks in actual fact. Mm. And that must feel very, very good. So how are you? Do you plan?
What? What's
do you
that?
Plan?
What the what?
I literally thought you hadn't heard me and I realised.
No. I haven't got time. I can't tell you, Emma, the last year, it was just not expected. So we are running to catch up every single day.
But you are, I mean, last time I saw you, you were just launching new products.
Oh, he pulls products out of his every day. It blows my mind.
I will not put that on my face.
you can't stop. You can't stop.
Really pissed off.
Yeah, like it was so funny. This is no joke. We were in a retailer meeting in the US. Don't look at me like that. We were in a retailer meeting 1 month ago, and this presentation, now I generally do all the presentations for our business, so done this presentation.
I wonder why.
And Mark put it on his computer, because mine's messed up, put it on the screen, and he's going through the products.
No.
All of a sudden, no. There's this new product. Oh. He'd done a slide himself. He'd got the design team to like make a design of it. And presented this product to the retailer. And I was like...
It's a bloody good product.
What? Where did this even come from? He was like, yeah, I was with the manufacturer yesterday. It's going
to
be great.
So how do you stay plugged into new ingredients? And is it a new ingredient? Or is it an ingredient that currently exists, but you've maximised it?
Yeah, there's a few different ones in there, actually. It's all based around different types of acids.
So it's not just, so you don't just do single ingredient topicals?
No, predominantly we do.
Predominantly.
Yeah. But this is something where there's a couple of acids in it that are quite interesting and it got interesting clinicals. So I said, well, let's just see if we can get to like a multiple acid solution and see if we can get an instant effect. So that's why I put it in the presentation.
And so you achieved that, I'm guessing, through trial that Colette had no idea about.
Yeah, but I guess if we cut to the chase on the difference between us, you very much look after today and I'm off fanning about with tomorrow.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I love that so much. It's like the most profound and eloquent thing I think you've ever said. And you said it into the microphone.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Listeners, there's a challenge. Mark's a fidgeter, so we've got to keep him directed at the microphone. But you delivered that perfectly.
Yeah. So...
Always going for more.
Yeah, no. But my head's been in 2020 for a good while. And, you know, you rightfully are doing the stuff for the next few months till Christmas. That's it. Job's good.
So, no, we don't plan.
Okay, great. So let's talk about... This is new and exciting for me too. Let's talk about your consumers. You said you have answered 7,000 DMs.
Yeah.
They must inform. Okay, so maybe you don't plan.
Oh, well, yeah.
But the conversations with your followers, your consumers, must inform what happens next.
So since this week last year, there's been a few like really super engaged fans that have literally helped us develop product.
What?
So the first bulk of DMs that we were getting, you know, when we literally had arse end of nothing followers was, why haven't you got more products for acne prone skin?
Mm-hmm.
Now we actually wanted to launch some, but they were just rubbish. You know, we did a salicylic acid serum, but we couldn't like get it so that, you know, your face wasn't sticking to the walls. So guess what? We didn't launch it. But with those consumers, we worked with both a cleanser and a serum with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the first two new products that we launched in January this year.
So, yeah, we will always listen to them. We will always use them. Because if they're asking for things... Why wouldn't we work with them to get it right, to get it to something that they like?
Mm.
Massively inform what we do. Yes, there's new and exciting ingredients, and Mark's kind of always looking. We've got some wicked products launching in September that are really ahead of the game. But actually, there's loads of gaps still in our range that people are asking for, and you have to listen to that.
Well, that to my earlier point about getting the same emails over and over again, do you get the same requests? What are the things that people...
So niacinamide was the number one request. So we just launched...
It was missing for a good while.
Yeah, so, we just launched that.
See, I find it interesting. The request is for an ingredient, not a skin issue.
Some DMs are literally... Someone takes a selfie of their face.
And says help.
And says help. Like, can you tell me what to do?
Mm.
Yesterday, I was... literally walking out of this event and with my wristband on and this girl said I've stayed in the queue a long while because she had that sensitive skin.
And I
stayed an extra 15 minutes to just understand what she did currently.
Mm.
She said, well, what would you recommend I do next? I said that, gave her my email, that was it.
I think,
and it actually wasn't about our stuff. I'm not going, hey, you should take this and that and the other. I was like, just cut back, stop, and like build back in some stuff a bit more slowly.
Mm. A lot of people think they've got combination skin. A lot. blemishes are massive, massive. Like, I think that's why our salicylic acid cleanser, when we launched it, it's epic. Like, totally changed my skin. Like, it is so good. Like, I could, I would put a lot of money on, like, somebody liking that. But when we launched that, that's had the best feedback. Because obviously if you've got blemish prone skin, making a difference to someone with blemish prone skin is massive. I'd say there's a couple of areas we haven't really dealt with yet. So there's the sensitive skin.
Yeah.
You've got some wicked ideas, haven't you?
But and that's where you have to go to the actual supplier of ingredients or labs that have done work on the biochemical pathways of like the inflammatory response and things like that to understand how can you kind of help influence those pathways through ingredients. I mean, with us, you know, it's too high risk to get into drugs and stuff. So so you have to do it in a very...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sensible, topical way that falls in line with the regulations. But
so the point is, if someone's looking at the Inky list, if they listen to this podcast, but if they go and look at the proposition of the brand and what you have to offer... If something doesn't exist, it's because it's not up to standard yet. It's probably on the way.
Yeah, so we had, because we're obviously launching in Q1 now. But I think last month...
You literally just spoke Latin.
Yeah, you did.
Q1. Oh, sorry. When we launched products in January, we had 27 products that we were working on, like in the background of stuff. At various different stages, some's like concept and can we get the right level of ingredient for the right kind of formulation, and some were literally iterations of various different cleansers and
price
and what have you.
We will not go above £15.
Yeah,
we've made a stand. We will not launch products above £15.
Your face when you say that is like, that's a deal breaker.
We will not. But some products like cost so much we physically can't make it work, and there's a couple right now that are killing us because we really want to launch them, but we literally would go out of business.
You're not going to launch a 5 mil.
yeah. Here you go, super concentrated. So then that's
the Inkyless miniature coming out soon.
don't because he's going, sorry. Emma, what are you doing?
I'm so sorry, I take it back. Is there a formulation that you are most proud of? I mean, I know you've talked about the salicylic cleanser, but is there a formulation that you are most proud of and why?
That's definitely you.
And are they different for each of you, given your different
backgrounds? Yeah, so the cleanser I just think is amazing. It's so simple. It doesn't tighten your face. I'm someone that's suffered, like, acne-prone skin for years and years and years, but I also get dry patches. It's just a horrible cycle of spots and dryness. And for me, that is, I use it twice a day and it literally just evens me out. I just love it.
Looking at your skin now, and I know, listeners, you're thinking, well, we can't see, but I wouldn't have thought that you had acne-prone skin at all.
Luckily, I don't get scarring, but usually when I'm like tired or stressed, I break out really badly. Honestly, since using it, it's been a game changer. I'm not trying to do a sell. This is... Like, I really feel that.
Colette used to use, and I'll think.
Thank you for this.
Well, no, this is pertinent because there could be people listening that, and this is the reason why we wanted to do skincare but was afraid of it for so long, because once someone finds something and it works, and, you know, it's back to my, like, don't admit the success thing, but once you find something working, you almost don't want to change a thing just in case it slips away and you go back to ground, like, step one. But you were like, double stripping your face with physical exfoliator twice a day instead of twice a week, and then just lathering on the most richest moisturizer,
which is just worked. Because it worked, and if I didn't over exfoliate, I'd get a spot. Mm-hmm. So I'd just over exfoliate more, and then my skin would be crazy flaky dry. So I'd just put loads of cream on it, and I was in this like awful cycle. But if I just kept doing it, it was okay. So it was a real game changer for me. That,
and that's what I think in skin, you've either got to be in a bad place and try and get it back, but it takes something to get people to change their behaviour. Like Colette says, so what was it? 20% 20% people use like serious like serum skincare. That's it.
It's not a lot.
In the UK,
20%.
Yeah.
So 1 in 5.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's it.
So when we're in our like beauty world, you think everyone's using multiple serums,
And we'll know what it is, what it does.
Most people are using face wipes.
Yeah.
Da da da.
Don't Caroline White hear you?
True.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I was at a family gathering recently and mentioned some skincare, and literally from, I would say, intelligent women over 30 just looked at me blankly. Yeah. And I thought, I'm a really bad family member. Or you're not listening to my podcast.
Probably that.
You're not getting a Christmas card. But I was quite surprised. You're right. We are in something of a bubble. Like if you're listening to this podcast, the chances are that you already have a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah.
True. I was going to say the word we use, but I can't.
Is it a naughty one?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, what once you break out of that world, people are just a bit busy, and they've got other things on their other priorities. And
so the point is, what you're saying is, Inky List is for people who are too busy, can't really necessarily get their head round it, not because of anything that's wrong with them, just because maybe they haven't got the time or the inclination, and you're just like, don't worry about it. Here you go.
Exactly. Keep it simple.
But then at the same time, we also stand for those beauty junkies through innovation. So we'll always try and bring out really cool new ingredients at an accessible price point that they wouldn't be able to find elsewhere. So that's kind of the other end of the spectrum. So we stand for, we're like skincare novice and beauty junkie. How do we stand for everybody? Our brand is for everybody, young, old, girl, boy. It's completely agnostic to who you are.
Okay, so we got this. We've got your novice, we've got your beauty junkie, and you've got your single ingredient products.
Yeah.
How are you explaining layering?
So we're doing it on DMs. So that's really where our DMs come into it. So we're literally walking people through, once we do them like a consultation, we walk them through day and night, what are the different steps? Mm-hmm. Are we doing that as a brand right now? Openly, no. Are we going to? Yes.
So we are like...
So you do plan?
I did.
Emma, but if you could hit him for me, that'd be fantastic.
I'll get my club out of it.
But we are like the world's best personal skincare guide right now. No one knows because it's all direct messages.
Again,
no bugger sees.
Worst business people ever.
Yeah. So what we're trying to like flip that on its head. And if you come and see us in a store, or you come to an actual website that works maybe, and every interaction that we're going to do moving forwards, once we get to the end of this year and early part of next year, will be literally to walk people through how to layer if they want to, because the great part of the world that we do live in is it's the choice of the consumer. You can do as little or as much as you want. It's the gift is in your hands. It's then how do we make it as easy as possible for you to either go big or not do a thing.
And it's really interesting that you ask us that question, because it's been going around in our head for a year, and I think we had to find out first how to take people on the journey of single ingredients before we could go to layering. Because I think if we'd started with layering, you just then start to confuse and people switch off. But we're now at a point, so our packaging is going to change slightly to answer that. You are the first to hear.
That is.
We're just starting to roll out into bricks and mortar stores for the first time. That's going to be really different. So the way we will show up in stores will be very different to other brands in terms of helping people to build a recipe themselves.
That's again a first.
It's again a first. So there's loads of things we're going to do. So 2020 will be us really tackling layering.
Right. Now, a lot of skincare experts and dermatologists agree, and I've interviewed a lot of them, that there are only certain ingredients
And I would probably say those are retinol, vitamin C and SPF that fundamentally have a proven impact on the skin. Does this make innovation even more crucial? And what do you know that we don't know about topical ingredients?
Colette?
But it's true. I'm whenever I go back to a skincare expert, they say, it's retinol, it's vitamin C, it's SPF.
As heritage ingredients, yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
I.e. they've been around for ages, and there is way more, a lot of weight of evidence that says this is what they are, how they work, and demonstrable, not even necessarily clinicals, but then consumer research, studies that can actually validate it.
Well, there's just more proof behind them because they've been around.
They're exactly right.
Okay, right.
So if you were to... everything depends on, like, where's the money going in research? Because to this point, and I guess historically, there's been only a limited amount of companies that are in skincare in a credible way. Mm-hmm. So that's, and we all know who they are, mm-hmm. right? So if they aren't putting money in certain areas of research, it probably isn't going to be researched. But I think nowadays, with the rise of indie brands, independent labs, and just more curiosity globally to understand ingredients, to understand the transparency of ingredients, all of a sudden there's lots of mini micro studies and tests and what have you that start to kind of build up. I'll give you an example, because you said about retinol. Now, I said deliberately earlier that ingredients need to be tried, tested, or true, mm-hmm. because the source of our inspiration to our innovation is yes, labs and what are clinicals saying, but it is also what is the public saying, what are they interested in? Mm. But it's also, is there a global something or other? Is there something in Brazil or Korea or something that's just really resonating for whatever reason? And can we bring it into UK or Western world and do it in an exciting way? But if retinol's been here since God was a boy and has got loads of clinicals and what have you, Bakuchiol is a brand new ingredient that is on the rise. We've had loads of interesting press about it, but it was only 4 years ago where it was clinically proven that it had the same gene expression map essentially as retinol. Now, what that means is it kind of switches on the same things of your skin cells that retinol does. It just doesn't. Some other later studies say it doesn't actually kick off collagen process synthesis as much, mm-hmm. but actually in terms of that skin renewal process, it does some of the similar pathways.
So retinol's Meryl Streep and Bakuchiol is Jennifer Lawrence.
Mark.
Do you see where I'm going with this?
A new girl.
Heritage.
Yes.
Popular culture, not his thing.
Oscar winner.
I'm okay.
But yeah. Yeah, great. I'm glad I really knocked that one home today. Sorry.
I'm not good with my celebs.
You spend too much time finding ingredients.
This is a very good point.
Yeah, reading clinical studies by the sounds of it.
Who was that thing the other day? Yesterday? No, Saturday.
Who?
I got told off.
Emma.
Tell me everything.
Oh, no.
Please.
So we're at this amazing show in the US where
Sephoria.
Yeah, we did this like amazing pop-up lab where we did customized serums. It was amazing. Had the best time. Anyway, this celeb came into the booth and I'm like, jaw drop. Mark's like faffing around with someone. I was like, Mark, can I borrow you a minute? And he's like, I'm busy. I'm like, can I?
I was making a serum for someone.
I was like, can I borrow you a minute? And he's like, no, I'm busy. No, Mark, I need you to come over here. And he's like, can you just give me five? And I'm like, no, like trying to be really nice. Patrick Starr.
Oh.
came into our booth and wanted to make a serum. And Mark's like, all right, mate. Didn't know who he was. Like, shook his hand. Yeah. Fully was like, so I just was looking at Mark, like, just know that he's important.
Yeah, but we were in LA and everything's a bit bougie.
He'd got like this. He'd got an outfit on. Like.
But I like the fact it's democratic, like the skincare, like the brand. It's like, I don't care, Kirkpatrick Star, there is a queue. And I'm dealing with this customer.
Like, literally was like, you all right, mate? Anyway.
I think that's quite endearing.
I'm not sure he did.
Like yeah. moving on.
I had planned to ask you about how you engaged with your consumers, but you have already talked about that. But it is the understanding of their needs that is really... So if somebody's... What we want to get to with this, if someone's listening to this episode and they think, actually, I would like to understand skincare a bit more. I would like to layer. I would like to try to use single-use ingredients. They can interact with you directly.
Directly. So DM us. Day, night,
if genuinely. That's allowed, I would like openly encourage it. So we are planning for next year, believe it or not.
And see, this whole thing about not planning is such a fib.
But we if we're going to spend money on anything, we want to spend money on having more people on not just kind of Instagram or what have you, but being able to live help people. Mm.
We don't know what that looks like yet.
We don't know what it looks like yet. But give us a good problem and inundate us with how to help.
You know how Tupac played Coachella a couple of years ago via hologram?
Wow. Yes.
I'm thinking that you should think about something along those
lines. That would
be
amazing.
In-store experience, I'm just saying.
I did.
Sorry. It's like, he will try to do that.
No, but I'm laughing because when I was in LA, I absolutely was playing Tupac going down the street. Inglewood. Oh my God, I was loving it.
Amazing. Right, next time I go to LA, I'm going with you. If somebody was coming to the Inky
Red
list for the first time, what?
Red Bandit.
Yes.
Stop.
What should they begin with? Listeners are going to understand the dynamic so well between you two. It's hilarious. Right. If someone was coming to the Inky list for the first time, what should they begin with?
Ooh. Product-wise?
Yes.
No.
See? We don't start with product. I thought you meant like... Would you like come to us to ask questions? Like, I thought we were on that vibe. No, product. Okay, cool. Number one product everyone should be using is hyaluronic acid. Mm-hmm. Because no matter your skin type, it's going to help you.
Mm-hmm. So this is, collected it a lot, but this is the product that we've went to town on. Mm. Making sure that the texture was right, making sure that...
No stickiness, no tackiness, genuinely.
And making sure it was good across all the skin types. So... No matter what age, skin need, etc., everyone needs hydration. Mm. Everyone needs to kind of plump up your skin and give it that boost of water in the morning and in the evening. So that was the one we worked really hard on.
But it also works with then anything else you put on after. So it's only going to make what you put on penetrate deeper. So it's just a win-win.
Yeah. Start there.
Start there.
Mm. Always.
Good stuff. And if you're saying that only 20% of people use serums, the chances are they're using moisturizers, as
correct.
In cold creams or creams, as I was previously before I had my butt kicked by our friends. Then actually switching from a cream to a moisturizing cream or lotion to a hyaluronic acid can actually elicit quite a good response from your skin.
Yeah.
Because I've experienced that for sure.
Yeah.
Just those, it's like anything, when you start, if you haven't worked out for a while and you start working out again, you actually, in the first month, you'll see like maybe the biggest difference. It's the hard yards after that that's the challenge and keeping on top of it.
One thing, I know you said that you're changing up the packaging, but one thing that I've definitely noticed recently is that I've got really bored. I'm doing the same thing day in, day out. I use the same things in the morning and I use the same, it's probably 4 products in the morning, 3 in the evening. And I must admit, I do think I've got a cupboard in my office full of new launches and I think, go on, crack open that new packaging. And I have to remember consistency, use the same thing. Yeah, it's the same. But I do miss the excitement sometimes of cracking open a new...
Something.
Yeah. It's so tempting. But so the Inky list is actually about stripping it back and only using what you need. So how do you... identify exactly what you need? Is that the DM conversation?
Yeah. But no, that interaction of what you need, we pride ourselves on doing that really quietly. We just need to figure out the best way to invite the world to engage, I guess, with us in that regards, because...
But I like what you do, Mark. I think when you are talking to people, you're very clear on, it is quite simple. Find a good cleanser, wash your face properly and hydrate. Because a lot of people aren't doing those two basics well. Mm. And actually, even if you do those two basics well, you're going to see such a difference.
And it's quite funny that today is 1 year on, but we actually said just before the launch that if there was one thing, like almost surreptitious objective of the brand, it would be hydrate your face more.
Yeah.
You know, hydrate your face more, because we've got a product that can do that for everyone. And if that is the only product that sells, fine. You know, we just won't make more of the rest, and we'll try and find other ways to make that product interesting.
What we didn't realise is how many people need a caffeine eye cream.
True.
Oh.
It's gone mental.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the US, like a cup of coffee for your eyes, they are there. It's gone crazy, isn't it?
How many of those do you sell a minute?
Oh, I don't know.
We can't believe how many we sold of the eye cream.
I do know, by simple maths.
But I guess it's that thing of people understand caffeine.
Yeah.
A stimulant.
Yeah.
And that was our bet. The hypothesis was understanding will help more people try serums. That was the kind of bet that we placed with the brand.
I feel like my final question is like throwing a grenade into the room, because it's just
exciting.
It's just to understand what a day in the Inky List office looks like. You've already said that they're aroused. You've already said there's a bell.
Yes.
Is it a quiet place?
What do you think?
No.
It's absolute chaos. It's so much fun. We're all in it together. Our team, Mark gets really upset because he's not part of the crew. Our team all go on holiday together. They only met a year ago, and we are. It's just been such an insane ride that they've all become like really firm friends. Very relaxed culture. Like, we have music on.
Music on all the time.
Like, team, like, we all sit together and have lunch. Like, obviously, maybe some alcohol. Drunk on a Friday.
School time alcohol.
It's very like chilled in terms of culture, but it's absolute chaos. Normally, because we'll be like so excited, we'll be doing something, and then Mark will literally throw a grenade in and be like, nope, we're going to do this now. And then everyone goes completely bonkers and crazy.
So what I get that it's chaos, and I like that about hanging out with you two. I like the fact that I never know what's going to happen. But equally, and I know you've already said you're the worst business people, but equally you've got to have objectives. Like, everyone's got to be working towards either a common goal or their own goal for their department.
Yeah.
So how do you install that within the workplace?
Now,
I just love that you called it a department. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
We don't have departments. Just find a chair and sit down.
Crack on, let's go.
No, but we are from corporate world. Mm-hmm. So we both worked at Boots. So actually the strategy, like day sessions, Mark loves a general like picture of a man on the moon. This is where we're going. Vibes.
Do you have, was it SWOT analysis or something?
Yeah.
I remember sitting in a meeting with one of those, and my background's magazines. There's no SWOT analysis of doing a photo shoot with a celebrity. It's just get it done.
Yeah, there is a lot that goes behind the scenes in terms of building a strategy. But ironically, our team are so young. So sometimes it's a bit, they're just a bit like, oh, can we just crack on?
But I guess you kind of also ask, what's a day in the life like? I mean, anyone that gets off their backside and does their own business has like absolute kudos from us always, because it is hard. When we were starting to do well, you know, business was hard and things were happening that, you know, we'll talk later over a tequila.
But no, like
about
business stuff. So like the brand and like the products launching and the great PR and everything looks fantastic. Behind the scenes, doesn't matter what business it is, running a business behind the scenes, not having enough people. We sold too quickly, so we had no money left. Like, then Sephora placed this insanely huge order and we're going,
can't do it.
Can't do it. So there's a lot.
That's the last time I saw you and you were like, this is just happening.
It was actually. So yeah, it's really, really hard. And a lot of the conversations going on aren't, you know, this fun, jazzy office. It's like, you know, the bottle shipment's been held in customs, so we can't, you know, get it to the factory in time. Or we've run out of cash. You know, that happens a lot.
Or the people stuff, like, that's what gets me.
HR.
You know, like, you know, you're dealing with people's lives, and I think from the very go-get, obviously, you're more conscious of people's lives and mortgages being on your heads.
Like, literally on our heads.
I think what I like about the Inky List, and I think what I like very much about you two, is that I think, as listeners will have gathered, you're very open and honest. You're not trying to put on any kind of front, but you're also
allowing people to come on the ride with you, which I actually think is really nice.
I don't think we do it enough.
Well, the fact that we're the ones that are here.
No, I think we don't do enough. Or there's not something that shows what it's really like behind the scenes, because there's only, like, I can only remember talking to Emma now in the last 6 months, really, of like, what actually is it like, and what's the non-brand side of it is like, and showing people what goes behind it, you know, because there is hours of like all sorts of sacrifice behind just getting a product to market.
Well, it'd be very easy to make it look like it's fabulous to dress a certain way, to talk a certain way, and to offer up a pretense. But actually, you're very real, which is, as I say, endearing. But it doesn't make me have any less faith in your products.
No, good.
Do you know what?
I suppose that is a risk, though. I suppose we've never thought about that. Do you know what? We just do. Oops. We don't have time. We don't have time for pretense. Like, we've just come from a meeting. We're coming to here. We're running to a job interview. Mm. Like, there's just so much going on. I can't imagine being like, right.
We're not going for a job interview. We're interviewing someone for a job.
Laters.
You know what? When you told me earlier you're going for a job interview, and then you said on the podcast some of the stuff you've said, I thought, oh, gosh, she's
leaving. She's gone. No, I think we haven't got time. We haven't got time to have any sense of pretense or glamour, because it is not glamorous. Mm. We're just about to go and get changed in a toilet for an event. So, see you later.
I can't wait. Yeah, as I said, I really like your honesty. I really like the fact that if I ask you a question, I get a direct answer. Well, I get an answer and we eventually get...
You have to remind us what the question was.
We eventually get to the point. But like I said, it doesn't make me think... Your honesty and the fact that you will be incredibly transparent doesn't make me feel any less confident in the brand or the products. It actually makes me trust them a bit more.
Okay, that's good. And hopefully people feel that, because we are open to change. If someone, you know, really wanted to challenge us on anything we do, you know, whether it's a spelling on a social post or stuff, you know, I'd encourage people to always kind of get in touch.
Yeah, we changed the definition of one of our products, actually, on our cartons, because we thought we were being dead clear, and then someone was like, this makes no sense. We were like, ooh, fair enough. The next print run, we changed it. Mm. So, and if someone says, you know what, hate this product, or, you know, has feedback, then please give it us. We'd rather own it up and say, okay, we thought it was good, it clearly isn't.
Yeah.
Let's can it and start again.
That's the thing. Like you said, you're educating. I'm trying to sort of, in my head, I've got all these sort of metaphors, but you're holding people's hands to help them get better skin, help them to understand how to use products. But equally, you are willing to have your hand held by them.
Of course.
Yeah, cool.
In order to be able to deliver that, which is a really nice dialogue and a really nice exchange to have between brand and consumer, I think.
Really important. Because otherwise you're just churning out stuff, and if you're not listening to them, then you're never going to get what's right for them.
Mm. Yeah.
So the links to get in touch with you will obviously be in the show notes.
Amazing.
Awesome.
It's been so fun to hang out with you. It's always fun to hang out with you, but it's been really nice to actually learn about the brand, and I do want to come and ring the bell, please.
You can come ring the bell anytime.
All I've got is the songs in my head.
We'll do that later.
Can we go out as an outro?
Who's getting changed in the toilet first?
Go.
Right, thank you so much for joining me, Mark and Colette, from the Inky List. It's been a ball.
Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate your time. If you want to get in touch with the show, it couldn't be easier. Just email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com, or you can send me a DM on Instagram and Twitter, where I am at Emma Guns. Or if you want to chat with me and thousands of other listeners to the Emma Guns Show, then I highly recommend you click the link in the show notes and join the Facebook group. All you have to do is answer 3 questions, agree to the forum rules, and you will be welcomed in with a warm embrace. Also, while you're there, wherever it is that you are streaming and downloading this, you may be given the option to leave a 5-star review and maybe a couple of sentences about what you like about the show. And I wouldn't be mad at you if you did. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the next one.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.